Welcome to Wining and Dining with Jim White. It's the program devoted to introducing you to the people who create the flavors you love. I've got a very special guest for you today, somebody who's got an amazing heritage as a chef. In fact, it's a royal heritage. So glad to have Darren McGrady with us, the royal chef. Good morning to you.
And good morning to you too, Jim.
Or good afternoon or good evening. It's so hard to tell when you're inside this little room.
Right.
How's the world treating you, chef?
Excellent, thank you. Yes.
I don't have to call you Sir Darren or anything.
No, not at all. No. You can call me Darren. Yeah.
Well, Darren, let me ask you, for folks who don't know, we don't want to assume that people understand why they call you the royal chef, but you earned this. You came by it quite honestly.
I was chef to Queen Elizabeth at Buckingham Palace for 11 years. Traveling all around the world, wherever she went, cooking for kings, queens, presidents. I cooked for five U.S. presidents, President Reagan, Clinton, Ford, both Presidents Bush. Then moved to Princess Diana and took care of her, Prince William, and Prince Harry, right up until the day of the car accident. So that's my royal side. Of course, now I'm in Dallas, and I have my own catering company, Eating Royally.
Eating royally, and a very good job. Now, you don't mind telling us a few stories about your royal experiences, do you?
No, not at all. In fact, most of them are in my first cookbook, Eating Royally, which is what I named the catering company after.
And we want to talk about that, too, since we're in the midst of the holidays.
Yes.
And there's so many great things. So much of our heritage comes from the UK.
Yes.
Here in the United States, and so many of our Christmas and holiday traditions. And so that'd be wonderful. But I'm kind of following your website. It's a neat website, royalchef.com. But you kind of pose three or four scenarios there relating to your time in the royal household. You state Princess Diana would be thrilled about Harry's nuptials. Why do you say that?
Absolutely. I think, Princess Diana was the biggest philanthropist I think I've ever met in my life. And the way she inspired people around the world to do the charity work that they do, and also the work that she did. When I joined her, she was patron of 119 different charities. And I think Meghan coming into the royal family, marrying her son, her boy, her baby, Meghan is already a huge philanthropist. And the irony that Meghan is joining the royal family at the same age Princess Diana left it is quite sad. Mm,
that is amazing. What a lovely couple they are, and they just so strong and so sincere, and they're just amazing.
They really are, and I was thrilled when Prince Harry, the night that he proposed to Meghan, he cooked roast chicken. And roasted chicken was the dish that he always used to ask me to cook whenever he came home from school. So I had some sort of an effect on that, I think.
Well, yeah. And in fact, the other point from your website is how much you use the collective term the royals love roast chicken. Why is that? I mean, is it?
I think
yours is great.
I think it's the ultimate comfort food, and chicken is just so easy to make. Roasted chicken so easy to make, and it's cheap, and it's healthy, and it's good for you. And I think certainly for William and Harry, it was nursery food, and it's something that Nanny requested all the time for the boys to eat in the nursery, along with all the green vegetables, which are super good for you.
What's the secret? What's the royal chef's secret to a tasty, fit for a royal roast chicken?
Roast chicken, people make too much of roasted chicken. People make too much on, you've got to truss it, you've got to tie it up, you've got to put a lemon in the center, you've got to sprinkle it with this and that and rubs and everything else. And the best roast chicken of all is you take the chicken, you paper towel dry it, you sprinkle it with salt, you put it onto a baking rack, and then obviously a baking sheet underneath. Into the oven, 450 degrees for 1 hour. Don't touch it, just leave it. Comes out absolutely amazing. No oil, nothing, just roast it like that. And it comes out crispy, crispy skin, and the chicken's done. As easy as that.
That's perfect. You got it from the royal chef, folks. So I guess the same, a little longer cooking time, but the same philosophy would apply to turkey, since that's such a holiday mainstay.
Absolutely. Turkey, there's an amazing recipe for turkey in my latest cookbook, The Royal Chef at Home. where I do a roast turkey dinner, where I brine the turkey. I like the brining. I like that sort of the saltiness going into the meat. Turkey is sort of much bigger breast, obviously, than the chicken, and so to get that sort of flavor through into the meat, I like to brine.
That's interesting. Now that one, of course, chefs and people who are really into cooking really understand that it's a fairly simple process. But I think a lot of people kind of look at that as some sort of chemistry experiment. And what do I do?
There's chemistry in everything we do in the kitchen. There really is. You know, why is it when you whip egg whites in a copper bowl, the volume increases 30%? Little things like that. It's all sort of science and chemistry. But in brining, that sort of breaks the turkey down and really puts that sort of salty flavor right through to the meat. And so you're not just sort of putting salt on the outside.
Well, it's certainly good to keep in mind for the holidays, Chef. We appreciate that. But let's get back to the princes, because you're privy to their favorite dessert. I'm wondering if those might have changed from the time when you were in the household to the time they were grown men.
I think growing up, the boys loved two things. One was the bread and butter pudding that I used to make for Princess Diana, and that's sort of my signature dish now with Eating Royally, the catering company. And it starts off as a bread pudding, and then it goes into creme brulee with raisins soaked in amaretto, the almond liqueur, then salty caramel sauce, a little raspberry coulis, and some fresh fruit to keep it healthy, right? So the boys still like that one. That was the princess's favorite. And also chocolate. The boys are chocoholics, just like the queen is. So they eat lots of chocolate. They love chocolate. And the chocolate biscuit cake from my first cookbook, Eating Royally, was the one that Prince William chose as his groom's cake when he got married. And that was the queen's favorite chocolate cake, too.
Well, that's a nice testament to you. Speaking of the queen, you also know her favorite selections for dinner. So tell us, what is a meal fit for a queen, Chef?
Well, the queen likes anything grown on the estate or, you know, obviously killed on the estate, like the salmon, the venison, the pheasant, the grouse. So anything from the estate, the queen loves to see on the menu. And beets, which we grow in the gardens at Balmoral Castle. We do beet Napoleons with a whipped feta cheese, sort of layers between them, and then a raspberry emulsion. And the entree, I think, probably one of our favorites would be Gaelic steaks, which is sort of either beef tenderloin or venison steaks with a whiskey mushroom cream sauce. And then pudding, I think, the royals call it pudding, not dessert. Pudding would be anything chocolate, as I said, so a chocolate tort or a chocolate perfection pie or something like that, anything chocolate.
I'm with them, anything chocolate.
Yes.
It's one of the basic food groups, as far as I'm concerned. Do you keep in touch? Do you still have contact with the members of the royal family?
I send William and Harry notes every now and again. When my latest cookbook came out, The Royal Chef at Home, I sent them a copy then. So I'm waiting to hear notes back from them. But I sent them the first book and got really nice notes back, yeah.
That's great. How did you get the job? There must have been tremendous competition for a position at Buckingham Palace.
Well, I started off at the Savoy Hotel in London, and I was chef de partie saucier, and slept on the mall outside Buckingham Palace to watch the royal wedding with my family, the wedding of Prince Charles and Princess Diana, and decided that I wanted to work in the royal kitchens. So I wrote a letter to the palace a few weeks later, had an interview. A few weeks after that, I was working in the kitchens at the palace and traveling around the world then with the queen and the royal family. And my first job in the kitchens for the royal family, I guess, was peeling carrots for the queen's horse.
No objections from the horse, I assume.
I don't think so. Maybe from the queen if we ever cut the carrots too small and the horse bit a finger.
Ooh,
but that was it.
Yeah, ouch. Well, now, growing up, was food a big part of your family life? Who were your inspirations growing up?
My mother was a chef, and sort of in a local hotel. And so she would come home and sort of try out new dishes and recipes on us. So that was always sort of interesting. But my grandmother was a cook, too. And I used to really enjoy going to her house and She'd cook sort of the long, slow braises and stews and then bring them to me on a plate. I still see it today, her carrying this plate so delicately because she couldn't get any more on the plate. She just wanted to feed her grandson. And those smells, those flavors sort of stick with me today. So I think those two were probably the inspiration behind me sort of still cooking after 30 years.
That's amazing. And is there a McGrady family proper English lunch for family every week or?
Well, in my latest cookbook, one of the sections I talk about is a proper Sunday dinner. Mm-hmm. And that section is probably the most important to me. And I know growing up, I remember we as small, me, my brother, sister, small children, we'd always have to be there on a Sunday night for dinner. And we'd have the English traditional roast beef, Yorkshire puddings and things, but also roast turkey or a roast chicken or a leg of lamb or something like that. But it was a meal that no one could miss. No TV. Everyone was there. There were no sports, nothing going on, no homework. Everyone had to be there for that meal. And that was our proper Sunday dinner when the family got together. And the same thing with my grandmother and my great-grandmother. They had the same thing. And my family today, my two girls are at college, Harry, my son, at home, and they still insist on Sunday, we have a proper Sunday dinner where they come home for that. And my grandmother, I remember going home when I was at the Savoy, and she said, let's go shopping, and I need to get a big chicken. And I said, Nan, why are you getting a big chicken? I said, you don't need a big chicken. It's just you on your own now. You know, your five children have grown up and left and have their own families. And she said, no. She says, I always told my children that on a Sunday, we'd have a proper Sunday dinner on the table. And so right up until the day she died, she always cooked a big roast dinner, a roast chicken. And this, no one, you know, the family, they'd all grown up and moved away, and nobody came for that proper dinner anymore. But it was always on the table, and that chicken she would eat for the rest of the week, but she still insisted on making that. So the proper Sunday dinner is something special to me and my family.
That's a lovely story. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that with us. And I'm glad your children are following that tradition,
yes,
too. That's important. What brought you to the United States? Why are we so lucky to have you here now?
How'd you move from the palace to Dallas, right?
That's a good way of putting it.
Right. After the princess died, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. Prince Charles asked if I'd be his chef at Highgrove, but I always thought I'd be a reminder of the past. I'd always be mummy's chef and to the boys. And so I thought about moving to America, and Princess Diana always talked about, Darren, we've got to move to the United States, whenever she was in L.A., New York, Chicago. So I'd been here in 1991. We flew over on Concorde with the Queen and joined Britannia in Tampa, sailed to Miami, where I cooked for President Reagan, President Ford. And I loved America. I loved the United States. And so I thought, okay, let's try and come over. So I put out my resume, got offered a job in Dallas, spent 17 years as private chef to a family in Dallas, and got my food on American Airlines in premium cabin, flights from Europe to the U.S., and then started my own catering company. So it's been, you know, a fabulous journey for me.
Fabulous journey indeed, and there are so many things going on with you. People can come and spend time with the Royal Chef. Is the new kitchen open? Let me ask you that.
Absolutely. We've just opened it, yes. And so we just expanded and just got bigger and bigger. I've had Eating Royally for 3 years now, and we've just got bigger and bigger. And now we have this great kitchen where we can actually do cooking classes. So a small cooking class for 10 people, where I actually teach people to cook in the kitchen, and then they sit down and eat. We can have, you know, private dinner parties for 10 as well, 10, 20 people at the kitchen. But it means that we can now cater and do, you know, even bigger events and weddings and big holiday parties and things sort of all over the Metroplex.
How many events are you doing? Are you doing something almost every week?
I think we probably do 7 to 10 events a week.
Oh, yes. 7 to 10 a week. That's almost every day then.
That's every day and some with 2 a day. Yeah, it is. Well, especially as we go into the holiday season, more and more events. But we still have dates left, so everyone needs to call us and have us. We do family events and we do sort of corporate events, and you know, whether it's sort of a family saying let's get together and actually have once you've prepared the dinner and maybe a menu of the royal family's favorite dishes, but you sit with the guests and share stories and anecdotes from your 15 years with the royal family, or whether it's a corporate event where I'm actually giving the recipes out, or we're catering or something like that. It's so much fun at Eating Royally right now.
Well, that's amazing. And of course, theroyalchef.com, all the yes. information about getting in touch with you and your calendar of events and things like that. Another big trip coming up in April, I believe. Isn't it April?
In June.
To the UK.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Any chance somebody could get in there or get on a waiting list if they want?
Absolutely. I think we have a few places left on that one. I host culinary trips in the summer, and I've been taken groups of Americans to Tuscany, to Spain, to France, and to, obviously to the UK. And each time I do a culinary trip, people say, well, when are you going to cook for us? And so I thought this next trip I want to make special. So I've rented a 14-bedroom house in Windsor in England, right next to the castle. And I'm taking a group of people over there. I'm taking my Eating Royally team. And we actually are inviting people to come along on the trip. And we'll cook for you. I'll be in the kitchen. Come and get up in the morning and come in the kitchen, have breakfast and sit there with coffee while I'm preparing a meal. And then we do dinner parties at the Savoy and trips to the theater and my royal tour. We've actually rented a London, old-fashioned London bus. A vintage London bus.
The red double-decker
with the open top. Okay. So we'll be riding around London in that, looking at all the royal palaces while my team are serving champagne and canapés on board. So it's that sort of trip. And then afternoon tea, we've rented our own boat on the Thames for a royal afternoon tea party. So it'll be an amazing trip. And to have me in the kitchen cooking for you and showing you royal London, that should be fun.
That should be great. And so people can find out about that on your
website. At theroyalchef.com.
They can also buy your cookbooks on the website.
Absolutely. Yeah. Eating Royally has been out a while now. You can still get that one. But my new one just came out, The Royal Chef at Home. And that has some amazing dishes in there. That's my 20 years since I've been in the United States. And there's something for everything, whether it's Thanksgiving, Christmas, anything going up to the holidays and beyond that into Valentine's, Cinco de Mayo, and everything too.
That's amazing. The royal chef does Cinco de Mayo.
It took a while, but I do now.
Well, since we're in the midst of the holidays, certainly, and it seems to me there's a holiday around every corner, thank yes. goodness. Talk about some of your favorite dishes or favorite recipes from the new cookbook.
Thanksgiving was you know, something that we'd never even heard of. When I first moved here, we didn't know what Thanksgiving was. I moved here with my wife, Wendy, and my daughter, Kelly, and I'd never heard of Thanksgiving. And we, I think, for the first 5 years, sat at home eating cheese sandwiches on a Thursday. then sort of Kelly came home from school, and she'd drawn with a crayon a turkey around her hand, and she said, Daddy, why can't we have turkey like everyone else, like all my friends? So that's when it was time to assimilate. So we started our own Thanksgiving. And I took on then all of the dishes, the sort of classical dishes that people have for the holidays, the green bean casseroles, the cranberry sauce and jellies and things like that. And then made them my own and sort of added a royal twist to every single one of the recipes. So whether it's something like shrimp and grits, which I'd never even heard of or cooked before, I now do the best shrimp and grits in the world. I now do the best beignet in the world, and of course the proper Sunday dinner too.
That's amazing. The Royal Chef at Home, easy, seasonal, entertaining.
Yes.
And Darren, I'm just delighted that you're staying so active and so busy, and you're in demand That's great. And thank you so much for sharing your stories about the royal family. Just as we say goodbye or adieu, is there one that really sticks out, a memory from that time at the palace that is really significant to you?
I think, you know, there's so many. I mean, 15 years with the royal family. The best times for me were coming up to the holidays when the royal family would get together at Christmas at Sandringham. This year, you know, Meghan's going to be there too with Harry. Just seeing the royal family when they let their hair down, when the media are on them and you actually see them, and to be in the kitchens roasting the turkeys and doing the cranberry dressing and everything else. I think that, you know, such happy, happy memories for me. And of course, you know, Princess Diana, the way she inspired people around the world to do good, just to take that minute and do good in people's lives. And I think I always tell people, you know, if all the stories I tell about Princess Diana, the good that she did, the way she affected people's lives, if that just inspires one person to pick up the phone, call their local charity and say, you know, what can I do to make a difference in someone else's life? Then Princess Diana's legacy lives on.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for being here, and keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thanks, Jim.
Chef Darren McGrady, the royal chef with you, Wining and Dining with Jim White. And remember, if anybody asks you what you're making for dinner, tell them reservations with the royal chef.